Hello and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. I am Jerry McCarty here with Rick Farmelo and Amanda Raymond, and we have a very special episode. It's our 25th episode. Cheers.
Yes.
And we have a special guest to start off the podcast
who's
with
us. Who's
a lot
shorter than you.
Who's
way shorter than you.
It's a phone call. It's our editor, the editor for the McCarty Metro, Kelly McCarty.
Cheers, Kelly.
Congratulations, guys, on your
25th. Now, do you have a drink over there? Or are you, you're in Michigan right now, right?
Yeah, I have a hot cocoa in my hand right now.
A hot cocoa. Put a little
rum in it. Come on.
Get a little rum
hot
in there.
Hot cocoa, sure.
Cheers. So, your opinions on the podcast? You got a big operation over there. You know, what do you think? What can we do to improve? That's, we're always looking for improvement.
I'll tell you what, guys. I really do enjoy listening to them. I think you've got some good guests, and I just enjoy listening to them. Like, I hope the rest of our Metro readers.
Nation, the whole nation.
I think you guys do a great job.
And what's been your favorite guest?
My favorite guest.
You haven't listened to any of the shows, have you?
I
really enjoyed the Ken Howard podcast.
Yeah, that was
That was a good one. Cool. So who's the guest you want us to get? We can get anybody out here.
Except Leslie Nielsen.
Did you hear Leslie Nielsen died today?
So we're not going to get him.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So you can put him in your passing away, whatever that column is that you write in that thing there. Gone but not forgotten.
I think it's called a minus column.
But Leslie Nielsen...
Harlow or an Ace
Frehley.
Ooh. Well, you know what? I might be able to get Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley?
Maybe.
I
know a guy that knows him.
Yay.
I know a guy that knows him pretty well.
That would be awesome. Why don't we get Paul Stanley on there?
I'd like to hear some of those kids' stories. That would be awesome.
I don't think they have any stories, but they can make something.
I think Gene Simmons pretty much ran that whole show, and the other guys were just kind of...
Yeah.
He told them what to do, and they were good, but it was like they all had like Jewish New York accents, uh-huh. But they were dressed up like like demons, or Star Child. Paul Stanley was a Star Child. Yeah. Ace, what was Ace Frehley?
He was the space man.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was a spaceman, and then Gene Simmons was like.
Like a dragon kind of thing? What was he?
I think he's like a vampire or something.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then, one of the worst choices ever, Peter Criss, after all of that.
Is a kitty.
I'm going to be a cat.
I'm going to be a cat. And they're like, you'll be drumming in the back. Finally.
I bring in your furries, idiot.
Your furries.
I'm going to be a kitty.
I'm sure the people were just going crazy over that. Okay. Well, anyway, hey, Kelly, thank you for being part of the podcast. We appreciate you airing our episodes at www.mccartymetro.com.
We're going to do a pledge drive soon and get some money.
All right. Hey,
it's coming up.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Stay warm.
Okay. So that was that. And we've got 25 under the belt. Our last episode, which we did two episodes at once.
Right.
Which
better. Let's Play 2. We did it.
We did. That's right. Let's Play 2. But it was kind of like, you remember the match game?
Yeah.
Where they would the Friday shows, because they'd film them all on Fridays,
all on
right?
Monday, yeah.
And then they'd drink, and Charles Nelson Reilly would be in the bag.
By the fourth or fifth show, you could really tell.
That was kind of like,
was great,
when I went back and listened to that last podcast, it was a little like that. We were getting a little silly.
The second one. After the Giants won. Well, we're celebrating the Giants won the World Series, and we were a little loopy the next Yeah, we were still stuck.
Okay, but anyway, one thing I wanted to do at our anniversary, our 25th episode here, was we get a lot of questions, and a lot of them about Rick and his background. People go, they IMDb you or whatever they do, and they see all your credits and and so anyway, so they we get a lot of questions about you. But I'd like to tell people, we'll do questions, maybe we'll do some questions, but I'd like to tell them some things that you don't know, and this involves Amanda and Rick. Is you guys were actually in a film with one of my favorite people of all time. Go ahead.
It was a surprisingly low budget, but it was actually done up here by a guy who directs. He's directed a lot of low budget films. He puts like sort of older stars from the 60s, 70s who were pretty big at the time, and there's kind of his stock company. He used George Lazenby, who was James Bond and on Her Majesty's Secret Service. Robert Vaughn was in a couple of his movies. Anyway, Stella Stevens is in a bunch of them. Yeah, she's really cool. She's a professor with Jerry Lewis, so she's a legend to me. But it was basically Amanda was in it. She was really more in it. I was in it also.
You were dead or something.
I got shot by Lee Majors, actually.
Lee, that's who I was going to talk about.
But Amanda was actually...
And what was your role, Amanda?
I actually had a line.
You had a line. What was your line?
Well, we should tell what the movie is.
Yeah, tell the movie.
The movie. Go ahead. You tell.
Oh, it's Hell to Pay is what it is. It's like it's a western.
Hell to Pay. Yeah.
And at one part, I'm like a dance hall girl. Another part, I'm just kind of like this country bumpkin chick who's expecting a letter from her mother.
Cool. But it was fun, and we get to hang out with them all, and it was filmed up here in Valencia, out in this set. We should tell the story about what we. We ended up going to the wrong shoot, but this is a family program. We actually went to this ranch, okay, to shoot this thing, and we had never been there before. So we followed the directions, went through the ranch, went through the gate, and we saw some filming, some lights and everything over there. We can tell us without being, we didn't do anything wrong. We'll keep it clean. But anyway, so it must be over there. So we're driving the car, and so, okay, there's lights, and there's lots of people around, and there's all this stuff happening. And as we get closer, we see a guy with a cowboy hat on, and a girl with, I don't know what she was wearing, but the guy with the cowboy hat, that's all he had on. And it was like in a movie where you're driving and you're like seeing everything in slow motion. I'm like, we're both like looking at.
What did we sign up for?
And I looked at her and she looked at me and like, wow. We're like, what?
Did you read the script? Is this what this is?
So I parked the car. So I'm just going to get out and. You stay here. If anybody comes to tell you, just take off. I'll take care of myself. So I'm walking towards this, basically, but it was a porn movie. But I'm looking the other way.
The good, the bad, and the horny.
I'm looking at out of the pasture. And these guys are watching, like, what's this guy doing walking up here? Who's this guy? So I kind of went all the way around it and found some lighting guy, whatever. I go, is this? He said, no. You're like, no. We're not. That's not the. You need to go over there. It's on another part. It's like we're by the Western town. Said, thank you. I have no idea how much I appreciate this. So I ran back to the car. We got him to buy.
Wow.
Anyway, so we filmed the Western, and Lee Majors was in it, and
Lee Majors. Now that Leslie Nielsen is gone.
Yeah.
I would love to see Lee Majors have a comeback like that. Because I like, I mean, he's like an icon.
I read he's going to be an Oprah or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he was really nice. Most of these guys came in and just shot for, what was oh my God, he's Swedish. He was in a whole bunch of Westerns in the 70s. I wish I could remember his name.
Oh, Bo Svensson?
Bo Svensson was in it.
Bo Svensson. Awesome. He was Walking Tall. He was like the second Walking Tall guy.
Yeah, he was cool. Who else is in it? This guy who was on, I think it was Cheyenne. He played like a psych. Peter Brown was his name.
All right.
But you see a lot of guys. It's like I know you from somewhere. Now there's like 10 of those guys.
Yeah.
And it was really really fun. But that was like God. How many years ago was that?
2005. Yeah. So check it out with Hell to Pay.
Hell to Pay. Yeah.
You can probably find it on Netflix.
You can certainly find it. I don't think they're sold out. it's not a great movie, but it was fun, and
That's cool. So anyway, so that's something that's probably not in your IMDb, is it?
I don't know if it's in there because I'm mostly IMDb's all in.
Probably it's not in your. You should put it in yours.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
and then all of the animation that you've done—that's all those Disney movies out there that are do you have a favorite? That's one that people ask.
Oh, really?
Of all of the animated.
Well, all the ones I worked on, I would say The Little Mermaid.
That would have been my guess. Would have been your guess.
I liked Aladdin a lot. Aladdin was a lot of fun, and I think it turned out great. But I think just the most, I think emotionally, the one I liked the best. Just because
the best crew and director.
The best crew, I mean, it was just, just one of those magical things where I read the early draft of the script, and it was like, this is great. The first draft, I was like, this is going to be great. And I remember distinctly coming out of an early screening, and I'd worked on a lot of other, I worked on The Great Mouse Detective, I worked on The Black Cauldron, which, whatever, Oliver and Company, I worked on a few other things. But when I walked out of the screening, the first time I saw an early version of the movie, it's all storyboarded and nothing animated yet. I was walking back to my desk thinking, this is exactly why I wanted to be an animator.
Yeah.
This movie, this is the kind of movie I always dreamed of making. This is exactly why I got into the business. And so, you know, that was it. So because of that.
And it was the first one like that. I mean, it was really the first.
It was the first huge mega hit that we had. And everybody just like, we all knew it was really good. We were like, this is going to be something special. And, you know, it's I still hear it. People still come up to me. Yeah. Most of the people I work with now are like, well, now I was 4 years old. My mom took me to see it. Boss. But, anyway, but yeah, so I think that one.
Yeah.
Is probably, and I did Scuttle in that. And it's felt, he was really working with Buddy Hackett. I got to know him pretty well.
That's awesome.
And that was I have tons of stories about Buddy Hackett. But that was, he was just great. It was just really, really great.
Yeah, cool. And another question that we get a lot is, what projects are you working on now?
A few months ago, I finished working with at Ken Duncan Studio in Pasadena, which we're doing some really good stuff there. We did a DVD special version on how to Train Your Dragon, which came out, I think, about a month ago on DVD. There's two DVDs, and the second one is this. It's called The Legend of the Bone Napper, and it's done all hand-drawn. It's supposedly in 3D, like with the glasses, but I don't know if the glasses come with the disc or not. I'm not really sure how that works. But we're working on that. It turned out nice. And right now we're right in the middle of animating Kung Fu Panda 2, also a DVD special. That's going to be about 17, 18 minutes long.
Oh.
Just started that a couple weeks ago. No, maybe a month ago now. I can't remember. But anyway, so that's what I'm working on now. It's all hand-drawn, and I'm having a blast.
Cool. And Amanda is a writer. And you're still keeping the acting thing alive?
Not as much as I would like.
Well, you're going to be in Dennis Devine's next movie. The guy that was our horror director that was on on episode.
Don't call him a horror director.
Horror.
This guy's got some integrity. Sure, he works cheap, but I wouldn't call him a
Sunday night. You're definitely going to be there. I could tell. So we'll see that. And we have gone through our time, but I do want to mention our sponsors. And our sponsors, PB Imaging. And, I got one more thing I got to tell you about my other sponsors. I was on a plane last week, but Audible.com, and I finished listening to the whole Steve Martin book.
He listens to Jerry. Do you read stop signs? Do you listen to stop signs? And
you will want to listen to this. As Steve Martin is his.
I heard this great T-shirt today. This guy was wearing.
Go ahead, tell me.
No, I didn't. I'm just kidding.
So he says he was talking about how when he was in, because he worked as a writer in LA, and he did stand up in San Francisco because he wanted to be up in that area. Mm-hmm. And you saw him up there, actually.
I saw him for $11 at the boarding house.
And that's what he mentions, the boarding house.
Really?
Yep.
Excellent.
And he says that after the show was over, he would take them out side of the street.
Yes, exactly.
But he said he would do that because they had to empty, the shows were so close together that they had to empty the theater. So that's how he would empty the theater, is he would take everybody outside.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he said he took them down to McDonald's and was going to buy everybody a Big Mac and then settled on one large fry and passed it around.
That's exactly what he did. He took us, he just was doing his acting, just walked out. And we're like, well, as he's doing it, I'm like, we're supposed to follow him, or is it over? And we just kind of said, so we followed him, and the entire joint opened, emptied out. I forget what street it was on. Was it O'Farrell? I can't remember the name of the street the boarding house was on. But we were all, and he was just out there, standing on the sidewalk. And as we came out, he'd be commenting on people that walked out and yelling at cars as they drove. I mean, it's crazy to think this really happened, but it did. We just stayed there. He goes, hey, everybody go home.
Wow.
But he didn't leave. He just stayed there. So nobody left.
Yeah.
He did like another 20 minutes out there just screwing around and doing ad libs. And
he also says, I mean, it's just amazing to have seen his career. And he said that it was literally because he had been on, he got an appearance on The Tonight Show, and then he did Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And he said after, you know, it would be a boarding house held 300 people, something like that.
It was a club, yeah. It was fairly small.
So he said, I was doing 300 people. And he said, and then after that, I was doing thousands of people.
Yeah.
And people, he's like, they can't see me. And so that's when he put on the white suit. So people could see him on the stage.
Okay.
Because he was getting these, he said in a matter of months, he went from doing the boarding house for 300 people to be doing, you know, amphitheaters. Mm-hmm. And he says, they can't see me. I got to put on this white suit. And he said he kind of stole it from, I forget who else. He said, wore white suits.
Elvis like, did. Yeah, no.
but he stole that. But anyway, but that autobiography is
really cool.
On audible.com and fun to listen to in his words, his stand-up career. So anyway, you can read this podcast at www.mccartymetro.com. It's free. And join us for our 26th episode next week. Cheers and congratulations on 25 episodes, Rick and Amanda.
Yes.